That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to episode 156 of That Great Business Show, where we bring you more great tips, insights, and unique business opportunities on every episode, all perfectly packaged in our commute-friendly podcast. I'm Conal O'Moran, Foltestiach. It's a happy birthday to us, as 3 years ago, Jamie Heaslip and I started That Great Business Show, and we're delighted that we're going from strength to strength. And oh boy, do we have something completely different for you on this episode. One of our most listened to episodes of That Great Business Show is episode 15. That's the one where Conor McEnroy, chairman of Sudamery's Bank and Ireland's honorary consul in Paraguay, told us tales about kidnapping, bombings, and how he came to own what was Paraguay's fifth largest bank. Now, that has changed. Following a recent takeover, Sudamery's is the number one bank in Paraguay, so we had to have the boss back. But he's here to talk about far more than just the bank. All our tips and insights are brought to you thanks to Dundeal Motors, the place to look for your new or previously loved car, van, or truck. Dundeal.ie. And we are now official podcast partners with Aer Lingus Long Haul. They want you all to head for Hartford. That's in Connecticut, USA. The best place to set up your USA HQ. Do contact us at thatgreatbusinessshow.com to find out more.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a seven-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
Now here's a question that you have probably never asked yourself. How did dollars, or euro, or sterling physically move around the world? Yes, we know that fewer people carry physical cash, opting for plastic, but plenty still love the smell and feel of the folding stuff. Millions of people constantly cross borders with pockets or wallets full of US dollars or British pounds. But if you need physical cash away from home, outside your economic region, where and how does that cash actually move? The answer is fascinating, or I found it was, when Team GB's favourite and Paraguayan bank Sudamery's chairman, Conor McEnroy, told me about the business of cash movement. Conor McEnroy, welcome back to That Great Business Show.
Conal, it's great to be here again. Thank you.
You do know that you are, I think, our most listened to episode. Episode 15, number 15, so worth a listen. Nobody else was talking to me before about kidnappings, shootings, and other ways of doing business, which might be a little bit different.
Well, there's a loaded introduction. Firstly, I shudder to think that episode 15 might be the most listened to episode, because really, don't people have something better to do than listen to a fat old Wicklow boy waxing on about...
It's entertainment, that's what it is.
Is it? Okay. Well, what can I tell you? You want to talk about money?
I do, because I sat with you and you started telling me about how money moves around, and I said, I'd never thought about that. I always imagined central bank sends it to an AIB or a Bank of Ireland. They stick it into their ATMs and comes out, and somebody sends a check back in the post or something and says, okay, we're all square now. That ain't the way it happens.
Well, you know, you just took a huge leap there when you went from the ATM to the check. So there is one kind of money which is traded in two forms. You have the physical form and you have the electronic form. But it's the same money. So let me explain to you how it works. There are these very nice people called National Print Office, and they print money. And they print money whenever the central bank says, I'd like some money, please. So they print them up, print up the bills. And something quite interesting, when the euro was first started, the highest denomination bill in the world for a highly traded currency was the $100 bill. And the smart chappies in the newly minted European Central Bank decided that there was a particular market that they wanted to go after. So they minted a 500 euro note. At that time, about $700. Now, to be able to have $700 in just one little slip of paper, that's very attractive for certain kinds of people. Maybe, with Insky at the end of their name, they might be from Ruski, or they might be an African dictator, or they might be a Colombian drug lord. And it was actually policy to go after the illicit market.
Ah, come on.
I kid you not.
Ah, come on.
I kid you not.
They're not sitting at a board table and say, let's get all the druggies to use euro.
No, you say it much more suavely. When you talk about printing money in the basement, it doesn't sound very nice. So you talk about quantitative easing. Don't know exactly what it means, but it's in quantity and it must be easy. Those kind of folks don't have those kind of blunt conversations. That's just, mix from the Wicklow Hills like me, call it like they see it, and oopsie, I didn't have that moment of sincerity, did I?
So €500 bills. So
that was designed specifically targeted for the, let's say, the illicit market, the oligarchs. How can you move large quantities of cash in a suitcase? I don't know if you've ever seen, have you ever seen €1 million?
Unfortunately not.
Well, I tell you what, next time you come down to Paraguay, you haven't been yet, so it'll be the first time, but come to my safe, I'll bring you into the safe, and I'll show you what $1 million looks like.
This is your personal safe, isn't
it? No, I don't have a personal safe. I have a little box in a communal safe in the bank, but I don't have a personal one. I don't have anything to put in it. So, but I'll take you down to the, what we call treasury. We'll have to time it because, you don't keep that much cash in a bank at all. We don't tell the public that, but actually most branches have no more than $30,000 in them.
Interesting, because, of course, the reason that you don't want people to think or know that is you don't want to worry them.
It's because most people don't know what they're doing. Even well-educated people, even people with university degrees or what, they don't think about what actually common sense would tell you happens in a bank. It's a bit like going to church. That's gone out of fashion. Bank branches have become a bit more hip. But when I was a child, when you went into a bank branch, there was big columns and brass. And there was a ritual, and you knew what to do. You took one of those slips, and if it was money going in, it was blue, and if it was money going out, it was red, and you filled it out in your best copper plate, and you brought it up to the window, and the bank teller was this mysterious guy on a stool behind a high counter. And it was a bit like going to mass, you didn't really understand what was going on, but you knew what would happen next. But actually, when you go into your local branch, and let's say you have 500 euros or 1,000 euros that you're going to lodge to your account, the ordinary Joe thinks that goes into the safe. It doesn't.
Go on.
It goes to the guy behind you in the queue.
Ah, okay. Like it circulates around that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So go back before I forget it now.
How many people would be inspired by knowing, well, when I go to deposit my money in the bank, they give it to the fellow behind me in the queue?
But that is how I assumed that the system worked when you're looking for those dollar bills. Go back to your $1 million. What size is, because you're going to tell me this, how big a bag must I bring to remove the $1 million out of your safe?
€1 million you could put in your suit jacket, no problem. Don't even need a bag.
Really?
Yeah.
Like into your inside pocket?
You put some on this side, some on that side, and if you've got any left over, put them in your back pockets and your trousers.
Like, with, show me with your hand now. Are we talking about for a million?
Yeah.
Like, that's what, about 3 inches?
Yeah.
Okay. What about dollars?
High denomination notes. So.
That's the 500s.
Yeah.
So times five if you have $100 bills. So you that's need, easy. That's really, really easy.
You need a briefcase for $1 million.
Okay. So that's not onerous.
But, you know, in some countries, for example, in the United Kingdom, their central bank issued an ordinance that nobody is required to accept a 500 euro note.
Okay.
And indeed, here in Ireland, you know, except for the high-end hotels, you go into a shop with a 500 or 200 euro note, nobody will take them.
Okay. So, back to the original thing, which was, how does it actually end up? You told me that $100 goes to the person behind me. That's okay.
Okay, they've printed the money and the central bank has the money. Now, what do they do with that money? Well, people call banks, call up looking for money. Now, not every bank can call the central bank. There are what are called agents of the central bank. For example, in the States, it's called a Federal Reserve agent, because there's too many banks for the central bank to deal with on a simple administrative matter. So they appoint agents who have the agency to look after that process procedure. And, you know, requesting money is one of those, as is delivering money back.
And that's a business.
Which I'll come to in a moment. Yes, it's a business. Perhaps the best known bank in the world, the bank that dominated the distribution of physical cash of the U.S. dollar, was the Republic National Bank of New York, Edmund Safra's bank, now HSBC. But Edmund built up that business. He was truly an exceptional banker. But he was the supplier of dollar bills to the world.
This is the fascination for me, that he, not central bank to central bank, but a private company, was distributing these dollars.
Yeah.
And a vast business, a vast...
Yeah, he made a huge business out of it.
Okay, how vast? I mean...
Well, he operated a hub and spoke, so he had branches all over New York City where he collected deposits to be a regular, you know, high street bank. Then he had an agency or a branch. Agency means rep office or no cash, if you like, or a branch in pretty much every capital in the world. So he had this hub and spoke.
So if he were distributing dollars out of New York to Dublin, there was a receiving spoke, if you like, here, and they would have rung up and said, we're coming to the summer season, we need a whole heap of dollars. Is that it? Or?
Well, for example, if you have a branch in a country, well then, you know, you establish relations with all the local banks. And then if any of the local banks need American currency, if as a Fed agent I have a branch in your country, you'll come straight to me. If not, well, you'll deal with whoever you deal with and they'll come to me.
And somebody's taking a teeny little percentage every time, I presume.
Oh, nothing is free in this world.
And that is, it is and was a massive business.
It was. It's fast disappearing as a business.
Because of the move away from cash?
Because customers, you know, genuine customers, obviously if you're in the illicit business, you know, you want cash and so on. But normal customers, individuals, businesses, dare I say, even banks, you know, you want cash like you want a hole in the head. Cash is a pain in the bum. Just imagine, every bank has a characteristic. It's either a net accumulator or a net provider of physical cash. It depends on your client base. So imagine I'm a bank and I've got all the hotels and all the restaurants. Okay, some customers are going to come with cash, pay the bill in cash, pay the tip in cash, whatever. And all that cash comes to me. And then I turn around and say, hotel, would you like cash? No, I want you to take my cash. Oh, restaurant, would you like cash? No, I want you to take my cash. So I build up a safe full of cash But cash is the wrong word to think about. It's paper. What am I going to do with paper? I can't make any money on paper. And I keep accumulating this stuff. And you know how much it costs to build a safe?
No.
Oh, well, believe you me. I mean, a simple safe, and I mean just the four walls, ceiling and floor, when we build, it's 120,000. Because it's got six layers of bars in it, offset so that the biggest hole you can see is the size of a matchbox. And the concrete is done on a single pour because it's stronger. So now, best of luck with a drill hammer and a couple of acetylene cutters. It'll take you about 3 weeks to get through that wall. So plenty of time for us to call the polos to get you picked up. But to come back, I'm piling up all this cash. What the hell am I going to do with it? So I have to get rid of it. There's only one place a bank can get rid of cash. Give it back to the person who made it. So, as you can imagine, down in Paraguay, we send our dollar bills to the Fed. We send our euros back to the central bank in Europe, in Germany. We send our sterling back to London. And our local currency, which is called Guarani, well, that's just up the road to the central bank. We can send it up to them. And what happens? They take it in. They count it. The Americans are great because they count it. And let's say you've sent them 25 million, 30 million. And you get a message back saying two of the $100 bills were dodgy, not good. So we've deducted that from your balance. Oh, can I have the bills back? No. So I always wonder, you know, because there's always one or two, you know. It's just, you know, us suspicious people from the Wicklow Hills, we think, maybe there's an extra commission.
And if you were shipping your $25 million back to the US,
yeah,
that's a cost to you.
Oh, yeah.
And how is it done?
Oh, it's quite an elaborate operation.
Well, do you know what? Now, I think we might take a break there because I like leaving people hanging. And we'll come back in 2 minutes.
It'll be exciting. That's all I tell you.
Okay, Conor McEnroy, we're going to take a quick break.
That great business show.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
All that great business show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
And I'm back here with Conor McEnroy, who is the president, or presidente, I'm sure, of Sudamérica's Bank in Paraguay. And we're talking cash, and we are talking about how to get cash from A to B, and who delivers it, and how is it delivered, and who pays for it, and the whole business of shifting cash. You were just about to tell me, Conor, how does the cash, the 25 or 30 million that you are sending from the capital Asunción to New York, is it to New York?
To Georgia.
How does that travel? Who carries it? Do they send you with a little bag?
A little bag. So it's changed. Before I came, so this is more than 20 years ago, because I was much entertained by the stories of how cash used to be moved there in the 90s. And so in the 90s, Sudamérica was the only bank that remitted cash for the entire country. So they acquired the physical cash, they ordered it, or they reintegrated, they sent back the surplus. So all the Brinks mat trucks come one by one to the bank, and, you know, lots of armed guards on the street and, you know, bags and bags and bags going in. And it would go into the treasury. Then it would be, you know, so think of the 1950s Hollywood movie, you know. And then all these counting machines to count it to make sure that, you know, Bank of Wicklow didn't tell me they were sending me 3 million and actually sent me 2.97, you know. You have to check everything. So they recount it. Okay, now it's all integral. Pack it up in bags again. They're these sort of long leather money bags with locks on them. They would get walked up the stairs by armed guards to the helicopter on the roof. Because in those days, it was pretty dangerous to move cash. So they would get walked up to the helicopter, which would have landed on the helipad. And so think Rambo. This guy's out on the helideck, you know, on the four points of it. And this guy's putting bags after bags, you know, millions of dollars going onto this helicopter. And then there was one particular chap, a bit wacko. He now lives in Brazil. Actually, unfortunately, he's head of security for a hotel company. If there was one man I wouldn't ever want to have the videos of who's going down what corridors into what rooms, it'd be this fella. But he used to sit on the edge of the helicopter with a belts across his chest of bullets and an AK-47, you know, Rambo style, just, you know, think Vietnam War. And they would fly out to the airport. Now, once $11 million was stolen on the in the airport, on the runway.
How?
An armed raid.
Wow. Anyway, back to the story. I'm getting all excited now.
So
I'm in the helicopter.
So the helicopter lands, then you get it onto the plane. And depending on where you're going, you know, for example, if you're going to Europe.
We're going dollars, remember? We're going to Georgia.
Yeah, but I'm giving you an example. If from there it would be flown to Sao Paulo, where it needs to be transferred onto another plane, which is going where you want to go. And, for example, as soon as your cargo is on a Lufthansa plane, it's insured. Before that, it is not insured.
Can you not insure?
I mean, you could, but it's really complicated. So it's better to hire a company who has to look after the insurance. So there's a company, well-known Spanish company called Prosegur, who still today operate probably the best cash service and treasury service company in Latin America, also here in Europe. The yellow vans.
Well, I know of them.
Yeah.
It's S-E-G-U-R.
S-E-G-U-R, yeah. Prosegur.
But everybody, all I'm hearing is not the ka-ching of the cash being transferred, but everybody has to be paid. Your armed guards, and they may not be paid, they're not large amounts of money.
Absolutely.
But you as a collecting bank presumably have to be paid by somebody for the pleasure of collecting cash, for sending it off up to Sao Paulo, for sending it on
to... So now, Connell, you come into my branch and you say, good morning, Connor, I'd like to deposit 1,000 euros. Mm-hmm. And I say, very good, that'll cost you 10 euros.
Okay, so that's what I'm paying for. Okay.
Would you pay it?
I would.
You would?
I would.
Get off the stage.
No, I would.
You try and find anybody depositing money in a bank, and I have to say, oh, thank you. You have to pay for the privilege of depositing money in the bank. Not going to happen.
They take it off you in other ways. In other words, you have these monthly charges. Don't worry. You've been away too long.
Your point is right. You have to find some way to cover your costs, because even before you start with the Brinks Mat trucks and the helicopters and the Lufthansa jets, before you get there, you know, you build the safe, then you have to put the seismic sensors. You know, we once had a couple of guys who tried to bore a tunnel.
Okay.
And they sort of made a mess because they, instead of coming up under the safe, they came up in the front lobby of the branch. And when they started popping the tiles to come out, the police were standing there saying, what are you guys doing here?
And you remember the Hatton Garden raid? They actually managed to go into safe deposit boxes. That's only about 10 odd years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
And they got away with that, as far as I remember. I can't remember now. But anyway, back to the money has moved from the chopper to the Lufthansa plane. And on the Lufthansa plane, are there armed guards on that?
No. It's just in boxes in the hold. And then there's a whole setup for receipt of it. And it gets delivered all the way back to the central bank. What does the central bank do when it receives all that money?
Probably charges you again.
No. What it does is it puts an electronic balance in your bank account.
Okay.
So you can't have an account at the central bank, but I can. So my bank can have an account with the central bank or with the agent of the central bank. So we give in physical cash and we get back electronic cash. Now, when the central bank gives out the electronic cash against the physical cash, who's it given to? It doesn't send it to Paraguay. It doesn't send it to Ireland. It gets deposited in a local bank, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Citibank. But who owns that money? Well, ultimately, it's owned by Conall O'Moran. But Conall doesn't have any infrastructure to hold money, so he's deposited in, McEnroy Bank. But McEnroy Bank doesn't have the money. Citibank has the money. So what happens? McEnroy Bank has an account in Citi. So Citi has an account for the central bank. Central bank says, debit my account and credit Citibank for the benefit of your customer, McEnroy Bank. Citibank receives that. And they send a super secret closed internet network message called SWIFT. But it's basically closed.
I see a SWIFT code and stuff like that. Is what that is about, is it?
And SWIFT is not a transfer system. Maybe people mistake it and they call it the transfer, SWIFT wire transfer. It's not. It's a message system. It's a private chat room. Each one has the key to their door. And if I decide to open an account in your bank and you open one in mine, then I give you a copy of my key and you give me a copy of your key. And since we both have keys, I can send a message to Citi, yes, that money is for Conall O'Moran, this is the address he lives on, and so on and so forth.
And how quickly does all of this move? This sounds like pretty archaic stuff.
Well, it started out very archaic and the messages used to be sent over telex. Now it's instantaneous.
Okay.
Now it's, not all. I suspect your banks here are not up to speed yet, but down in Paraguay, we're latest technology. So we have the SWIFT messaging system is integrated into our core system. So when
I walk into your bank, I can get it like that, can I?
No, better. You in New York send money to my account in Paraguay.
And it's
and when you push the button,
it's in.
I can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's in my account.
Which is the Revolut model. And
Revolut, no.
Go
Sorry.
On.
Anybody who deals in bitcoins, take your money out, run.
We agree with that. That is has always been the position.
That snake oil, and all that.
But Revolut and transferring money, that's a different thing. That is used
anybody
by
who
anybody.
Deals in bitcoins. Is transferring illicit funds. Do you really want your hard-earned money mixing in with drug dealer money or with the money extorted from the patients of the HSE?
I'm sure we should put in a couple of allegeds in there. We're not making any accusations about anybody, sure we're not?
No,
that's okay. Just making sure.
Well, we were so talking about revolution, no?
Back to this business, back to this thing, of the movement of money. So it's all going to end because I did say we're going plastic. And then while you then said, no, we're not going plastic. We're going phone. When and how quickly
will
we?
It's not actually phone. The phone is just a tool.
Okay, no, but I know what you mean.
So what's happening now is today we have many pipes. I think of a water pipe. Pipe brings water from here to here. And we used to have one pipe, and everybody had to go down that one pipe. It's like, you remember when we had television, we had one channel, and you could watch that one channel or that one channel, unless you lived on the East Coast where you got BBC Wales and HTV Wales and BBC One. It's the same in banking. It used to be one pipe. Now it's many pipes. So you have pipes with, let's say, pipes on steroids. So PayPal is traditional bank pipe on steroids. They plug in both ends and they whiz it in the middle. Why? Because they don't do all the things that a bank does in the middle. Banks are slow. Then you have another pipe, which we now call the credit card or the debit card, Visa, MasterCard. I'm afraid, and then the one, the telephone company is offering cash transfer where you, in theory, you give me your money, I convert it into telephone minutes, I whiz it down the pipe, and then at the other end, I convert the telephone minutes back into money and give it as a credit to whoever. You have some companies trying to do the same with bitcoins, they call it bitcoins, they're not bitcoins, cyber tokens. You know, like the things you get on Angry Birds, if you ever play that. You know, you can get those little shiny things.
I'm looking at you, and you obviously have.
Absolutely.
Now go back, go on, keep going.
So all of these different pipes are going to fall away, and faster than you think. What's happening around the world is practically all of the central banks are working on or have introduced electronic transfers. So, for example, in Paraguay now, we have electronic transfers. So you can transfer money with a QR code, or you can go onto your app and say, "Conlo moron, IBAN number, 500 euros, sent." And that's instantaneous. So, for example, if you go to London, I notice that nobody wants to use any of the taxi apps. Could you pay me by bank transfer? And then you can take out your phone if you have a local account in the UK, let's say Starling Bank in my case, and you... The taxi driver gives you his IBAN equivalent and his name, and you can hear it going ching, ching, ching on his phone within about 2 seconds. That eliminates the need for checks. It eliminates the need for credit cards. It eliminates PayPal. It eliminates Visa, MasterCard, Swift, once the countries link up. And that is my prediction.
And when will that happen?
I think it'll be within the next 10 years. So my advice to any investor...
Get out of Visa.
Never own the pipe. You can move stuff along the pipe, but never own the pipe. Because it's like the guy with the one bridge across the Liffey who says, "Oh, I got this great bridge." And then he sells it for, you know, monopoly value. And then, oh my God, 4 more bridges are built. And suddenly, I go belly up. Today, with the speed of the movement of technology, which is basically just processing power, means you can crunch a lot of numbers very quickly. It means that, you know, pipes go out of fashion.
When will cash, the crinkly stuff, when will that go out of fashion?
I don't know that it will ever go out of fashion. Because I have clients who are 21 years of age, and they wear a medal on their shirt. "I've never been to the bank." And they do all their banking through the app in the phone. And between you and I, don't tell anyone else, I'm really glad that they stay out of the branch because they've no money. Now, you go and you've got an 82-year-old who's got 5 million euros in deposits. The event of his week is to come and visit the branch. And he comes to do some paper transaction. And those clients, the account officer has an instruction directly from me. He gets 1 cup of coffee, 2 biscuits, and 15 minutes to listen to him complain about the wife or the daughter or whatever. But if you've got 5 million of cash, you're not going to deal with a call center in New Delhi and an app on the phone. You want to look in the eye of the guy who's got your money.
And those people, because it's what happens in the world.
Circle of life.
Shuffle on.
Circle of life. When you're 20, you have no money. So yeah, I'm Mr. Super Zippy Computer Guy. But when I'm 80 and I've got money, you know, I'm sorry, I want a person.
But who is that man, woman, whoever owns the 5 million quid, are they actually using the crinkly stuff? Are they going to walk anywhere and use the crinkly stuff? No, they don't care. I see 90, 100-year-olds tapping nowadays.
Yes, but, you know, beware of predicting the end. You go to a restaurant, look at how many forks and knives and spoons are on the table. Why aren't they all the same? Well, you know, it's tradition. Not everything is logical. And also things change through what I call the circle of life. Habits and desires change. Some people like to feel the $100 bill or the 100 euro note or whatever.
But it's got to go from, say, 100% penetration down to 1% penetration. It's over.
It's not over. What is over is mono-channel. What is on, game on, is multi-channel.
Yeah.
And
that's cool.
People will use whatever's easiest for them.
So the death of cash is not for a while.
No, not for a long while.
Okay. Did you read your email? You probably didn't. I always end, because you should remember, this is only 2.5 years ago since you were here. Did you read your email where I asked, who would you hire in a heartbeat? Who would you hire as the person to help you further your business?
Which business?
And it will get onto that. That's another day's podcast.
Okay.
The bank. It doesn't matter to me. Who would you like on your team? Might be a sports person, might be an author.
Oh, you mean somebody that people would know?
Well, it always helps, because if you say Mary Smith, if they don't know her.
Well, I think in a heartbeat, I would, I better be careful, because I can't make a caustic remark on radio, you know.
You may say anything you wish, so long as you don't get me in front of a high court judge.
Yeah, well, that's my point.
Okay, moving along from that one.
If there was one person I could hire, but this is a safe territory, but it's also very sincere on my part. If I could hire one person, Whittaker. For me, Whittaker was one of the greatest heroes of the Republic of Ireland.
Incredible.
And he is.
And we are talking about Dr. Ken Whittaker, right?
Unsung hero of this country.
Yeah.
I would even go as far as to say he is the reason the Republic of Ireland still exists.
And I would agree with you. Incredible guy. And I met him.
You met him?
I had the pleasure.
Lucky you.
Yeah. I do revere him, and many others do. I have a friend in Connecticut who actually reveres him as well. So there you go. Conor McEnroy, you're still our president of Sudamadis Bank. Thank you so much for joining us again on That Great Business Show. And that is it from That Great Business Show, episode 156, Great Business Insights and Inspiration. All thanks to our sponsor, dundeal.ie. And you can go online and kick some tires at dundeal.ie and see what your next car or van could look like.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
It's all go, let Chrissy know on thatgreatbusinessshow.com. That great business show.
Do sign up for our email updates and we'll send you your own personal copy of the podcast. And that address is thatgreatbusinessshow.com. And that's where you should go if you want to advertise with us. We record at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where cash is still king. Our old school sound engineer on the job today is Mark Cash Only McCarthy. Later, studio manager Peter Rice will test for counterfeit sounds. See what I'm doing here? I'm actually working this, ensuring we remain the best-sounding business podcast in the world. And Peter Rice is also the man to talk to if you would like to record your own podcast here in Dundrum, Dublin. So, from me, Conal O'Moran, we host you all on the Slán Tamil.